tunnel to connect Russia and Alaska. Are you interested?
I just heard about it. A tunnel from Russia to Alaska. I just heard about that one. That's an interesting one. We'll have to think about that. I hadn't heard that. We just did a nice road in Alaska that's going to get us to a lot of minerals, and we'd have a piece of it, a good piece of the ownership, because of the fact we made it possible. But this came up yesterday, a tunnel from Russia to Alaska. That's an interesting. What do you think of that, Mr. President? Do you have any ideas? How do you like that idea?
I'm not happy with this.
No, I don't think you're going to like it. I don't think you liked it. I don't think you liked it.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, October the 18th. Coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with something a bit more light. That's how we'll start off today's video, with something funny that happened yesterday in the White House as Trump was meeting with Zelensky, and he brought up the Alaska Russia, the U.S. Russia tunnel proposal that Dmitriev made via X. So Dmitriev, who's the head of Russia's foreign investment fund, like the Foreign Investment Initiative, he was the Kremlin official who was working a lot with Steve Witkoff, right? Anyway, and continues to work with Steve Witkoff on investments between the United States and Russia, if there's going to be some sort of a deal or normalization in relations. Anyway, Dmitriev, he posted on X his idea, which is not a new idea, for a tunnel to be constructed connecting Russia and the United States, right? And 70-mile tunnel from end to end. And he posted this on X, and he even suggested that Elon Musk contribute to the construction of this tunnel. And Trump brings it up at the meeting he's having with Zelensky. This was incredible. I can't believe the world we live in is unbelievable. It really is amazing to see some of the stuff that our leaders talk about. But this was funny, man. This was funny. Trump brings it up to Zelensky as they're sitting at this table, Zelensky across from Trump. And Trump says, you know, I saw something on social media about a tunnel connecting Russia to the United States. That's interesting. Trump's like, that's interesting. I like it. I like it a lot. And then he asks Zelensky, what do you think of it? And the Green Goblin's like, yeah, I don't like it. Connecting United States and Russia, I don't like it. He said it's not a good idea. I think that's a direct quote. But man, was that funny. That was just, that was a funny exchange. Trump trolling Zelensky really, really hard there. No doubt about it. Dmitriev, he posted the video, actually. He said, breaking, President Trump says he finds the idea of a Putin-Trump tunnel between Russia and Alaska proposed yesterday interesting. Zelensky is not happy with this idea. I'm not happy with this idea, Mr. President Trump. What do you think, Podolyak? I kind of like it, Mr. President. Podolyak, shut up. Oh, man. Yeah. Funny. Funny stuff, man. The Putin-Trump tunnel. Trump's going to tell Dmitriev it has to be the Trump-Putin tunnel, not the Putin-Trump tunnel. It's a big, beautiful tunnel. It's going to be big and beautiful. Dmitriev actually posted quite a bit on this tunnel, and it's not new. This is not a new idea. This dates back to Kennedy and Khrushchev, and it was called the World Peace Bridge. From the Soviet JFK docs released by Representative Luna, Kennedy-Khrushchev World Peace Bridge could and should be built between Alaska and Russia at once with modern Boring Company technology, that's Elon Musk's company, this can become a Putin-Trump tunnel connecting the Eurasia and Americas for less than $8 billion. Yeah, Musk has this I think it's the Hyperloop company, a construction tunnel company called the Boring Company. And Dmitriev is telling Musk, you should join in on this idea. And this was actually in the JFK files that the United States gave to Representative Luna, who has been posting some great stuff about how there needs to be a deal between the United States and Russia, and how the United States and Russia should do business, and we should not be fighting, we should not be enemies, we should be getting along. So Representative Luna has been posting some really positive stuff of late. And this was in the JFK documents that were handed over to her office. And it talks about the Kennedy-Khrushchev World Peace Bridge. And Dmitriev posts about this a couple of days or a day before Trump is meeting with Zelensky. And Trump liked it. He liked the idea. Zelensky, not so much. I don't really like that idea. And he even has a diagram of the tunnel. Imagine connecting the U.S. and Russia. This is at Elon Musk. He's directing this at Elon Musk. Dmitriev, imagine connecting the U.S. and Russia, the Americas, and the Afro-Eurasia with the Putin-Trump tunnel, a 70-mile link symbolizing unity. Traditional costs are $65 billion plus, but at Boring Company's tech could reduce it to less than $8 billion. Let's build a future together. Yeah, and the tunnel goes through the Bering Strait. 70 miles from end to end. For only $8 billion. Zelensky could finance it. That's what Trump should have asked Zelensky. Trump should have asked Zelensky, it's only going to cost $8 billion. Why don't you finance the tunnel? Anyway, so let's talk about the meeting between Trump and the man in black, because Zelensky, he wore not a tie, but he came very close, an all black suit to meet with Trump. By the way, Hegseth, the director of war, he wore a red, white, and blue tie to the meeting, of course, for the United States, right? But it could also be seen as the colors of Russia, right? So that was Hegseth. I don't know if he was showing patriotism or maybe trolling a bit, or maybe even a little of both with the tie that he was wearing. But a lot of accounts on X noticed Hegseth's red, white, and blue necktie. So the big news from the meeting between Trump and the man in black, Zelensky, he told Zelensky, no tomahawks, Trump. That is what Trump said. No tomahawks for now. And according to Axios, their reports were that this was a very difficult meeting for Zelensky. It was a very difficult meeting for him to listen to Trump tell him that he's not going to be getting the tomahawk missiles, and Trump telling him that he will be discussing a lot of this with Putin in Budapest. That's like a double whammy for Zelensky. Not only is Trump going to be meeting with Putin in a couple of weeks, but they're going to be meeting with Orbán there in Budapest. It's like his worst nightmare, Zelensky's worst nightmare. Trump meeting Putin with Orbán in Budapest. It doesn't get any worse for him, and no tomahawks. So yeah, that was the big news for now. Trump can always change his mind, right? He can always flip-flop from day to day, and he may decide to give tomahawks or may threaten giving tomahawks tomorrow or may not. He's all over the place. But for now, at least for the next 2 weeks, it does look like we're not going to have any long-range missile tomahawk talk. And Zelensky offered a deal to Trump. This was actually kind of funny as well. Even Vance and Trump even laughed at this offer from Zelensky. He told them that In exchange for Tomahawks, he will give the United States drones. And the drone technology, by the way. Also the technology. Don't forget about the technology and the training. So his offer to the United States, get this, is you give me Tomahawk missiles and I'll give you drones. It's a good deal, Mr. Trump. I give you this little drone, you give me that big, expensive Tomahawk. And the video shows Trump looking at Vance, and they're kind of laughing at the offer that he made them. They're like, yeah, right, okay. A drone for a Tomahawk. Okay, that's a good deal right there. So yeah, that was the offer that he made to them. But he spoke to the media yesterday, to the very friendly Collective West media. Alensky, the media loves him. The Collective West media, they love the Green Goblin. What's not to like, right? Comedian, puppet comedian, actor turned president who can dance in high heels. The media loves Alensky, man. They love the guy. And they asked him about the Tomahawks. Are you optimistic that you're going to get the Tomahawks? Are you pessimistic? And his answer to the media was, I'm realistic, he said, which is basically him telling the media, no, I'm not going to be getting the Tomahawks, at least not yet, at least not for the next 2 weeks. So he said that. He also said that he hates Putin. He was asked about Putin, and he said, he didn't say I hate him, actually, to be fair to Alensky. He said that Putin hates me, and so, you know, I'm the same. I think that was his quote, pretty much. So that's what he said there about Putin. And he also said that he wants a freeze. He said that as well. He said that he agrees with Trump, and what should happen is that there should be a freeze right now. Right now, the militaries, both militaries need to stop fighting, and they just need to freeze the conflict. Right where it is right now, which is an indication, a very clear indication, that Russia is winning and that Russia is advancing, which they are, and that Russia has the Ukraine military in many cauldrons. The biggest, most significant, most catastrophic one is Pokrovsk. Anyway, you guys know the situation on the front lines. Alensky is desperate to freeze it, right? To pull a Debaltseve, a 2015 Debaltseve, freeze the conflict on the front line, prevent the catastrophe from the various cauldrons to the Ukraine military. It would be catastrophic to the Ukraine military, all the cauldrons. So freeze it, prevent the catastrophe, and then you rearm and rebuild, right? Minsk agreement plan is what Alensky floated, and he said that Trump wants the same, and Trump does want the same, at least for now. Trump posted on Truth Social, and he also told the media as well that he wants both militaries to stop where they are, stop in place, stop advancing, stop the fighting. Let's just freeze the conflict right where you are, and everyone can go home, he said. Everyone can just go home. That's what Trump said. Just stop the fighting and everyone, that's it. And we'll sort out the rest later, which is the complete opposite of root causes, right? The complete opposite. So if Trump goes with that thinking to Budapest, well, then we're not going to get anywhere, right? We are not going to get anywhere at all if he goes to Budapest with that kind of mindset. The Keith Kellogg freeze this conflict plan, it's not going to fly with Russia, especially now that Russia has Ukraine in a desperate position. It's not going to work. But, you know, maybe Trump was just saying this to the media because that's what they want to hear. Maybe he's saying this because that's what Alensky wants to hear as he was in D.C. But Trump's very far away. He is very, very far away from Istanbul plus June 2024 root causes. If you go by the Truth Social post and the statement that he made to the media yesterday. By the way, Alensky was speaking to the U.S. media in front of the fences protecting the White House. And there was a do not enter sign right behind Zelensky, which was kind of symbolic. Huh? You have these fences behind him and then you have a do not enter. And he's speaking to the media in that area. Very interesting location for him to give his outdoor D.C. press conference. So Axios also ran an article saying that Trump says he wants to end the Ukraine war without sending Tomahawk missiles. Well, you can do that with root causes June 2024. It's that simple. If that's really your goal, if that really is what you want to do, well, then all you have to do is accept June 2024, which is amazingly still on the table. Putin's root causes deal is still on the freaking table. Trump should accept it. And I imagine Orbán is going to tell Trump to accept that deal. You're not going to get a better offer than June 2024 root causes. But we'll wait and see. We've got 2 weeks ahead of us. So the first thing that Zelensky did after the meeting with Trump, which did not go well, it wasn't the embarrassment, the S show, that the meeting in the Oval Office where Trump and Vance, they got into the fight with Zelensky. It wasn't at that level. It was more of Trump kind of trolling Zelensky a bit. And just no progress on the Tomahawks, right? That was basically the outcome of his trip to D.C. He had a lot of high hopes, a lot of high expectations that he was going to get the Tomahawks and that Trump was going to commit to Project Ukraine, fully commit to the Europeans and sanctions against Russia and escalation with Russia. That was the expectation. But the minute Zelensky got off the plane, he heard about the Trump-Putin phone call, and then he got the news about Orbán mediating and taking place in Budapest. And then the news started coming in that there were going to be no Tomahawks, at least for now. And so, you know, it was a disappointing trip for Zelensky, but he wasn't yelled at by Trump in the Oval Office. But he still went to the Europeans. He still called up the Europeans, seeking a friendly voice from his European buddies, and that's what he got. He got European support. And the Europeans saying that they are now going to work on Trump for the next 2 weeks to try and sabotage any progress that might be made in Budapest. We still don't know the date of the Budapest meeting. Rubio and Lavrov are going to be negotiating and then discussing this over the next week. But Bloomberg ran an article with the title, European Leaders Look for Ways to Sway Trump at New Putin Summit. And all of the European leaders, well, most, not all, most of the European leaders, they put out posts on X, and they pledged their support once again to Project Ukraine for as long as it takes, and to the Green Goblin, who is not wearing green anymore. I need a freaking name for the fact that Zelensky is not wearing green anymore. I don't want to say the man in black because I love Johnny Cash. And I just don't want Zelensky associated with the legend that is Johnny Cash. So yeah, I'm going to stay away from the man in black. So we need a name for Zelensky in his black suit, but without a tie. Anyway. We'll figure it out together. So Stube, he posted on X, Alexander Stube. He said, just finished a call with Zelensky and European leaders. We stand firm in our support to Ukraine. This entails military and financial aid, security guarantees, a ceasefire, and a peace process. Work continues. Nobody wants to see this war end more than the Ukrainians do. Mertz also posted saying President Zelensky has the full support of Germany and our European friends on the path to peace following his meeting with President Trump. We have coordinated and will accompany the next steps. What Ukraine needs now is a peace plan. Antonio Costa, who is the other half of the EU autocracy, he also posted his support to Zelensky, had a call with Zelensky, blah, blah, blah. Who cares what Costa says? And even Keir Starmer, he weighed in. He's been traumatized greatly traumatized 008 Keir Starmer from his trip to Egypt, where Trump completely humiliated 008. And he's been in therapy since that trip to the Middle East. But he found some time to post on X, productive call this evening with Zelensky and other European leaders and the Secretary General of NATO, the CEO, Mark Rutte. I reiterated our unwavering commitment to Ukraine in the face of Russian aggression. The UK will continue to send humanitarian aid and military support. We must see a just and lasting peace. Every time they say a just peace, they mean a Russian capitulation. That's what a just peace means. We want to see Russia capitulate. So anyway, that's the message from the Europeans. They're going to do everything that they possibly can in the next 2 weeks to try and derail any kind of normalization of ties between the United States and Russia. And not only the Europeans, the neocons are going to help. The Europeans, Kellogg, Lindsey Graham, all of these people are going to be doing their very best to make sure that Budapest is a failure. So Orban, it looks like Orban, as we noted in the video on the Duran, me and Alexander, as Alexander said in his video from yesterday, as I said in my video from yesterday, it does look like Orban, he was instrumental in getting the phone call in place and getting the summit between Putin and Trump in Budapest in place. Orban played a very, very big role. He was in Egypt. He was in Egypt, so no doubt he was able to speak to Trump, to the Trump White House for a little bit, and no doubt that what he told them, it would be my guess, though I have no doubts about it, that he was organizing the phone call while in Egypt. And you know who was in Moscow when Orban was organizing stuff with the Trump White House in Egypt? In Moscow was the foreign minister, Peter Szijjártó, at the same time. And no doubt that Peter Szijjártó was also bringing up the phone call at the summit in Budapest when he was in Moscow. He was in Moscow to attend an energy forum, an energy event, but that might have been the cover. You know, come to Moscow, we'll say that you're attending an energy summit, you'll give a speech, make some statements, but we'll also use the event to get you here in Moscow so we can speak face to face and coordinate next steps in a phone call and in an eventual summit with the United States in Budapest. Orban, he was speaking to the media, and he said that that Ursula is pro-war. Hungary rejects Ursula's pro-war European Union. That's what he said. While the European Union is pro-war, the majority of the world is pro-peace. Orban also said that, and this is interesting, he said that Ursula was not in Egypt. The European Union officials were not in Egypt for the Middle East Peace Summit, or whatever it was called. Middle East Peace Summit, I think is what it was called. Anyway, the European Union was not there. They were not represented there. And Orban said they were not there because the EU, Ursula, she works for us. Member states were present at this event because we are her boss. She works for us. So there's no reason for the employee to have been in Egypt when the employers are already there. That was an interesting statement from Orban, and he's 100% right, man. When you really, really think about it, Ursula works for the member states, right? Not the other way around. And that was an interesting comment from Orban. But He played a big role. He played a big role. And I think last week we saw a lot of diplomacy taking place in order to organize all of this, from the phone call to the summit, Orban in Egypt with Trump and Szijjártó in Moscow with Russian officials. So the airspace over Europe for Putin to get to Budapest. We are getting reports which are saying that the European Union, the leaders of member states, are under pressure to allow the Russian president's plane to travel to Budapest. From Politico, Putin-Trump summit in Hungary forces EU leaders to mull airspace exemptions. A ban on Russian overflights of European nations complicates Budapest meeting plans. In this article, Politico reports that the European Union is basically sending the message that while they have a ban on Russian flights over EU territory, as Ursula calls it, it is up to the member states to decide if they want an exemption for Putin's plane. So it looks like the EU is under a lot of pressure, I imagine, from the United States, from the Trump White House. They're throwing it on the member states. That's how it looks. And they're saying, you know what, if the member states, the individual member states, want to carve out an exception this time around for Putin's plane, then that's up to them. So that's what Politico is reporting. We also have the report that also from Politico that the European Union is very, very close to seizing the $140 billion in Russian assets. $140 billion. It used to be $300 billion, but now it's $140 billion. Anyway, Politico is reporting that the EU is very, very close to seize, not freeze, that money. And they're also looking for an additional $25 billion to give to Ukraine. Now, take a guess where the $25 billion that they're looking for is going to come from. It is going to come from private bank account holders. You know, it's interesting. Politico, in this article, they didn't specifically say private bank accounts of Russian nationals or Russian citizens. They didn't specifically say that in their article about this $25 billion. They just mentioned private bank account holders is where the EU is looking to get the additional $25 billion that they would like to send over to Ukraine. So we're looking at $140 billion that they're very close to taking. And this is going to be part of their reparations loan, right? Their IOUs, reparation loans. But an additional $25 billion lies in private bank accounts across the block. And the EU executive wants to discuss using those funds to issue loans to Kiev as well. It should be considered whether the reparations loan initiative could be extended to other immobilized assets with the EU, reads the document which the Commission circulated to EU capitals ahead of a Friday ambassadorial meeting on the topic. Basically, the European Union is now talking about going into the bank accounts of people in the EU and just taking money. That's what they're talking about. And yeah, today it's Russia because of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and it's going to be part of the reparations loan. That's what they're saying today. But if something like this gets passed, if something like this is accepted, and if the member states accept something like this, Brussels going into the bank accounts in their countries, and just taking money from bank account holders, private citizens, bank account holders in the EU. If they accept this, then man, we are in deep, deep poo-poo. Everyone in Europe is screwed. Everyone in the EU is in big, big trouble if something like this is normalized and accepted. Oh man. Anyway, we have that bit of news as well. And finally, almost finally, before we get to our clown world, almost finally, let's do two more news topics. We can talk about another Nord Stream update, because a court in Poland, they blocked the extradition of Vlad Z, the Ukrainian suspect in the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage, Vlad Z. Yeah, Vlad Z. They blocked his extradition, and they freed him, and they let him go. Can you believe it? Yeah, the court said he can blow up a pipeline, whatever. He's allegedly, he's the suspected, one of the suspected pipeline saboteurs this Ukrainian guy, Vlad Z, that Poland had under arrest in custody. Anyway, the court is saying he can be let go. No problem. And here's the decision from the Polish judge. Blowing up critical infrastructure during a war, during a just defensive war, is not sabotage, but denotes a military action. Judge Dariusz Lubowski said these actions were not illegal. On the contrary, they were justified, rational, and just. And Donald Tusk, after learning about this decision from the court in Poland, posted, Polish court denied extradition to Germany of a Ukrainian national suspected of blowing up Nord Stream 2 and released him from custody, and rightly so. The case is closed. How about that, man? The case is closed. How convenient for the people, the person, the country that blew up Nord Stream. How convenient for Poland, for Italy. Italy did the same thing. Italy also refused to extradite Sergei K, who they have in custody, who is the other Nord Stream, Ukrainian Nord Stream saboteur suspect, allegedly. Sergei K, so Vlad Z, free. Sergei K in Italy will not be extradited to Germany. How convenient for Poland, for Italy, for the country or the people that blew up Nord Stream, Gilligan, Marianne, the professor, the skipper. And how convenient for the German investigators, huh? I've been saying for a couple of videos now that the German investigators, let's be honest, they were half-assing this investigation into Nord Stream, right? We're about, what, four years into the Nord Stream pipeline bombing, and Germany's going slowly, 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 those German investigators. And they, in my opinion, they didn't seem too interested, too eager to really get to the bottom of Nord Stream, right? But, you know, now the case is closed. So the German investigators, they can just say, you know what? Poland's not extraditing Vlad Z. Italy's not extraditing Sergei K. Our two main suspects. Damn it. We just can't really go anywhere with this, can we now? Dead end. Case closed for the German investigators. Man, Peter Szijjártó did not like this. And he posted on X, the foreign minister of Hungary, scandalous. According to Poland, if you don't like an infrastructure in Europe, you can blow it up. With this, they gave advance permission to terrorist attacks in Europe. Poland has not only released, but is celebrating a terrorist. This is what European rule of law has come to. He's exactly right, man. This is going to be a horrific precedent set by Europe. A horrific precedent is being set by the EU. So you can go after infrastructure if you consider it part of a just war, right? Is that those are the rules now? You know, the whole rules-based order, is this part of it? Is this part of the rules-based handbook? Is this in there? If you consider this infrastructure as part of a conflict and you want a just resolution to that conflict, then that infrastructure is fair game. That's a terrible, terrible precedent that is being set by the Polish court. Radosław Sikorski, he replied to Peter Szijjártó, and he said, "No, Peter, when a foreign aggressor is bombing your country, you may legitimately strike by sabotaging the aggressor's ability to finance the war. It's called self-defense." Man, Sikorski is so wrong about this, man. He is so wrong about this. You see why people are worried about Putin traveling to Hungary? That is how panicky, how crazy the Europeans have become over Project Ukraine. That they're actually now trying to justify the blowing up of a pipeline. A pipeline that was critical for Germany, man. Russia's just redirected that stuff to China. Right. For Russia, it's like, okay, you blew up Nord Stream. Well, you know, we'll just redirect all of that natural gas to China, power of Siberia too. But Germany's just getting hammered, man. German industry is just collapsing from Nord Stream. Anyway, they're really losing their minds in Europe over Project Ukraine. And let's do one more story on Epstein. Prince Andrew and Epstein. Prince Andrew stripped of titles over allegations tied to Epstein. In a new book, one of Epstein's victims wrote a lurid account of what she said was abuse by Andrew, a younger brother of King Charles III. Yeah, so no more titles for Andrew. He's been stripped of his titles. What was he, Duke of York or something? Anyway, he's been stripped of those titles. And emails have now been revealed, which show that Andrew was in constant contact with Epstein, even after his disastrous interview with, was that with the BBC? That interview where he was sweating a lot and he was basically giving an account of his relationship with Epstein and making it as if he really didn't have that good of a relationship or that close of a relationship with Epstein. Anyway, after that disastrous interview, Andrew made it sound as if, you know, he doesn't have any contact with Epstein, or he didn't have any contact with Epstein after the arrests and everything went down. And now, according to some emails that have been released, it looks like Andrew was not telling the truth. According to the Times, the email said, "It would seem we are in this together, and I will have to rise above it. Otherwise, keep in touch." The prince also allegedly wrote, "We'll play some more soon." Seemingly a sickening nod to his use of the pedo's services. Prince Andrew's email to Jeffrey Epstein revealed shocking details. And that's just one email. My understanding of this is there are a lot more emails to be released that are a lot more damaging to Andrew. But he actually said in the one email that has been released, allegedly, he said that we're in this together. This is after all this stuff was coming out and whatever was going on. Andrew said, "Bro, we're in this together. And then we're going to play again soon in the future." So anyway, this is a developing story with Prince Andrew. So I thought I would mention it. And let's do a clown world and we can wrap this video up. And yesterday, when Alensky arrived in D.C., he was greeted not by any very high top level officials, not the Secretary of State, not the Vice President, definitely not the President, but at the airport, he was greeted by the person that greets everybody. She greets everybody when they come to the White House. I don't know her name. I don't even know her position, to be quite honest. But she was the one that greeted Alensky at the airport, and pretty much no one else. Yermak was there. Yermak, how you doing, my man? Yeah, he was there. And then there were some military officials, or some people say airplane pilots. I don't know. I can't confirm any of this. Maybe they were military officials. Maybe they were pilots. But Alensky got off the plane and pretty much no one was really there to greet him. He was not welcomed to the United States as this big important president of a big important country, right? Very very low profile welcoming of Alensky to the United States. There's a lot of rumors about some of the people that greeted Alensky, but I won't get into that because I just can't confirm some of these rumors about a couple of the people who were on the tarmac. Anyway, Die Zelt has an article saying at least Alensky was allowed to stay overnight at the Blair House. Tomahawks yes, tomahawks no. Donald Trump is doing what he does best and sending ambiguous signals to Ukraine. President Alensky is being realistic. That's what he told the media. But according to Die Zelt, at least he got to stay at the Blair House, right? At least he got to stay at the Blair House, Alensky. Where did Podolyak stay? Right? That's what people really care about. Who cares where Alensky stayed? Everyone wants to know, where did Podolyak stay? Anyway, that's the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. Like this video. Subscribe to this channel. I'm never going to remember to say that in the beginning, am I? Never, never. Anyway, I'll try next time. And go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.